Welcome to Talking Technology with Atlas, the show that plugs you into the important topics and trends for technology leaders, all through a unique independent school lens. We'll hear stories from technology directors and other special guests from the independent school community and provide you with focused learning and deep dive topics. And now, please welcome your host, Christina Llewellyn.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Talking Technology with Atlas. I'm Christina Llewellyn, the Executive Director of the Association of Technology Leaders in Independent Schools.
And I am Bill Stites, the Director of Technology at Montclair Kimberly Academy in Montclair, New Jersey.
And I'm Hiram Cuevas, Director of Information Systems and Academic Technology at St. Christopher's School in Richmond, Virginia.
We are doing this once again. I'm glad to be with you back on the stage for a live from the Atlas conference podcast. So we're getting towards the end of this event at the time that we're recording this. So I think everybody's brain is sort of churning to mush, but we have a really killer guest with us today. So are you guys rallying? Are you having a second wind?
Absolutely. 100%.
Absolutely.
Okay.
100%.
Welcome to the podcast, Ty Campbell. We are so glad. We've been meaning to have you on the podcast. We're so glad we're doing it live in person. This is a treat.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I've been excited to be a part of this. So looking forward to our conversation here today.
Tell us who you are, where you work, and what's your job like? What do you do?
Yeah, great question. So Ty Campbell, Director of Strategic Information and Innovation at Gilman School in Baltimore, Maryland. I'm in my 8th year there now, and I oversee now technology and libraries. And it's been a fun ride where I feel like I get to be involved in a lot of different areas of school life, which is a lot of fun. I kind of poke my head sometimes in places where they may not belong, but it's always fun to get in there and see what's going on and see how I can shake things up a little bit.
So tell me about the demographics at Gilman.
Yeah, so we're pre-K through 12, all boys.
Woot.
Just over, come on now. We have just over 1,000 students, and we have a really cool coordination program with Bryn Mawr School and Roland Park Country School, which are two pre-K through 12 all-girls schools. One's across the street to the east, and one's across the street to the north. And so we have a really great opportunity for our boys and girls to take classes together starting in high school, mainly 11th and 12th grades, but some of the languages start in 9th. And so as much as my office resides in the upper school building, sometimes you forget that we're an all-boys school because of the number of girls that are walking through our hallways. So it's pretty neat. I have a 9th grader right now who goes to Roland Park Country School along with a 3rd grader. My 9th grader has promised me she is not taking any classes that are going to be at Gilman because she doesn't want to see me in the hallway.
Oh, No dad action at school?
No, she's had enough of that. That was good when she was little, but she's...
That'll turn around.
Yeah.
You are always daddy's girl.
She loves me, but she doesn't want to see me at work.
I understand. Molly Rumsey, we interviewed live here at the conference, and she works at an all-girls school. And we asked her about what makes an all-girls school special, and then I asked Hiram what makes an all-boys school special. So I'm going to pose the same question to you. What makes Gilman special, being just a boys population?
Yeah, there is something I think really special about single-sex education, and being particularly at a boys' school, which is my first time at a boys' school, it's unique in that everything that you see happening on campus, whether it is performing arts, whether it is learning in the classroom, whether it is visual arts, it's all done by the boys. And so there's nothing, as a boy is growing up and coming through the younger grades and moving on up, and he's seeing artwork hanging in the hallways, and he's seeing singing groups performing on stage. There's nothing that tells him, oh, that's what girls do. That's only something that's for girls. And the boys, you stick to what's happening on the fields, for example. They see everything happening and realize that's boys that are doing it, and so they can participate in that when they get older. And so it's really encouraging that it takes away those societal restrictions of saying, these are what the boys do, these are what the girls do, and it allows them to pursue anything they want.
That's awesome.
For that, I love it.
Yeah. Before I turn this over, because I know Bill and Hiram have some questions for you, what about your journey? What's your origin story? Were you a teacher? Were you from IT? How did you come to be in this position?
Yeah. So I was always the techie kid growing up. I was one of the first kids in my neighborhood to have a computer. And as much as I loved being outside, I also loved being on my computer. And so summer times, especially, what I did was I put my computer right up next to the front window so I could have the window open. And while my friends were outside playing, I could be right there at the window interacting with them, which was a lot of fun. And sometimes I would get out and, you know, play wiffle ball and so on. But I just absolutely loved computers. My dad was a computer programmer. My mom was and still is a teacher handling the little four-year-olds. And so I feel like I'm a really perfect blend of both of them. But I started pursuing studies, at least in computer science, didn't really love the whole programming thing at all. That just wasn't my deal. And so I wanted to do some education. But in the meantime, I got a part-time job doing help desk support. Started doing that and had some fun doing that. My very first part-time kind of job-ish or summer job-ish was working at the help desk at Time Magazine in New York, which was really, really awesome. And I did that for my first 3 summers out of high school. And so when I started with a real professional career, I was doing IT and did that for 11 years and then was like, I really want to be in the classroom. I want to be teaching. I want to be in a school. And so that's when I made the career change in 2013 to switch to going back to independent schools. And there truly is no looking back. I would not go back to an office if I was forced to. It is something special about being around kids, about working with teachers and really having an impact on the future and working for a mission-oriented organization.
That's awesome. I know I visited you at Gilman once and you know everyone.
Always the goal.
You shake hands with the janitor and you know who works behind the food line. Like, you know everyone.
Yeah, I think you got to know everybody. If you want to make an impact, you got to know the people you're working with. And everybody matters. It doesn't matter what the role is. It doesn't matter what office they're in. It doesn't matter what type of work they do. We're all working towards the same mission. We're coming at it from different angles, but we're all working on the same thing. And so it's important to say hi to everybody. It's important to make sure everyone knows that you value the work that they do, regardless of what it looks like.
Ty, one of the questions I actually have for you, and you talk about supporting the mission of the school, and you talk about the work that everyone puts in. One of the things here at the conference, one of the things I love about the conference is, and I've participated in this in a lot of different ways, is the Cirrus track that we have here, because I think it aligns very well with the mission of not only Atlas, but the work that we do in IT. And you talk about, you know, again, as you said, the mission and all of the people, and you have one of my favorite people at Gilman with Rachel Gorski in terms of the work that she does at Gilman, the work that I've done with her through Cirrus, through the creation of the guidebook that we put together. But can you speak to how you at Gilman and through the work that she is doing, how you're advancing the areas in institutional research to meet the mission of Gilman with the work that she does and the work that you support her in?
Great question. So I'll start off perhaps with a little bit of the history of Rachel's position. So when I first got to Gilman in 2016, it didn't exist. We were using a part-time person who was outside that was interested in this kind of work and was helping the school move forward with some of this stuff. But then she moved on with her true professional work, which left us in a place where we needed to fill this void. And in my mind, I had, as I was in the process of evaluating my own team, being still relatively new there, I had an assistant and I was like, I don't really need an assistant, particularly one who was used to doing things for my predecessor, like scheduling calendars and filling out invoices and stuff like that. I was like, here's an opportunity where I think we can make some change. And so we eliminated that position and created what is now Rachel's position and brought that into my department. And that has been, such an incredible change. Now, it doesn't come without challenges because I do believe creating the position is one thing, whether the school is ready or not to really move forward with that
100%.
Working,
that's why I was curious. Thing,
right. And so I think we're still in that transition phase of really understanding, one, what we have in Rachel. She is fantastic. Yep. And there's so much capacity that she has and there's so many high level things that she can do. And I think we're still in that phase of not only allowing her to do the work that she does and giving her the opportunity to do certain things, but then also leaning on that work and actually acting upon it, right? We get a lot of information. She presents these wonderful reports. And you know how it is. Sometimes they put a ton of work into something and maybe not go anywhere. Or you may not even know if something's happening with it or not. And so she's in a place where she wants to do more. She's eager to do more and also eager to see what happens. What are the results? What are the action steps that come out of the work that she does? And so we're still working through that. And I think changing the culture of our school to be a school that is data-informed and ready to kind of take next steps with the work.
It's very interesting because I think it falls along the line. You know, we've all done consulting work. We're all, involved with mm-hmm. Education Collaborators. We've all done this work. But I think it speaks to the idea that all this work that we're doing, it's the marathon. It's not the sprint
that's
that we're running.
Right.
It's not going to happen in this quick hit. It's stuff that's going to develop over months and years in terms of the work that needs to go into it. And I really applaud you and I applaud the school for really taking the initiative to invest in someone like her in the school and knowing what she is doing, not only at Gilman, but the work that she's doing that I've had the good fortune of sharing in, through Cirrus and really advancing that mission because it's setting up the school in a thought leadership role
right.
In terms of you can point to, yeah, there's somebody I know at Gilman that's doing this really, really well, and we need to go down and talk to that person. I think it sets her up, it sets you up, it sets the school up to really be in a great position. So thank you for having the forethought to advance that position, because it's benefiting all of us.
Yeah, thanks. And I'm particularly excited about how that's going to even evolve over the next several months. So Rachel is going to be shifting to part-time work with us starting this summer, and she's going to do the other part working with Mission and Data. And so it's going to be really fantastic for her to have her foot in school, but also a foot in Mission and Data, working with other schools, working with other places. And it's, to me, mutually beneficial.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting.
You know, Hiram and I have talked about this. The work that you can do outside of the organization benefits the organization, because 100%. You don't have this single view of just your institution. You're able to go out to experience what others are doing, the questions that are asking, and saying, you know what, that's a question we should ask. It's why I love presenting here at the conference, because every presentation I've given here this week has been with other people, and I've learned as much from them in preparing for that and having the conversations as I would if I was doing it on my own, if not more so. So it's great. I love that.
Yeah. Some organizations tend to be very insular in terms of their learning. And I think Atlas is one of the great places that demonstrates the value of learning from others, taking that 100%. Back. And that's where you get your best practices from, right? That's where you get the experience and not making the mistakes that others have already gone through, and make schools move forward faster and better.
So Ty, we're so similar in that you're an old boys school, I'm an old boys. We have a coordinate program, you have a coordinate program. We also share another aspect of it, because in addition to being peer schools, and that is that we belong to the International Boys School Coalition.
That's right.
And they've done a lot of research on how to teach boys best. And there's an interesting marriage between the research that they do and also a lot of the work that Atlas does. What have you taken away between that relationship? I've seen some nuggets here and there as well, but I'd be curious to see what you've learned.
You know, with the work that Atlas has done in the presentations that we've heard, and certainly all the resources that Atlas has provided, I think it goes to show the value of one, kind of focusing the work. So International Boys School Coalition is focused on educating boys, right? Atlas is focused on really professionalizing the technology leader role and how that looks. And granted, that looks different ways for a lot of folks here, right? But really professionalizing that work and giving people a path in order to move forward and grow themselves and improve themselves. You know, I had the luxury yesterday of being the only male in the Women in Tech workshop.
You went?
Yes. I was the one who took the picture.
Somebody had to. I mean,
that's awesome.
And I certainly did that to support Denise, right? Because I mean, I think the work that she's doing is fantastic. But to me, it was so clear in that room as they were going through that presentation and that work to see the women so excited about the conversation, and the fact that they had a space in order to let those conversations flow. That, if there's one example of just how powerful Atlas can be in terms of connecting people and working together with folks, that was it. It was absolutely phenomenal.
So it's interesting from our point of view at St. Christopher's, and I'm sure Gilman is the same way. The reason you're there is you love boys.
Yes. I don't have my own, so it really helps.
It works.
I got 1,000 instead.
You got 1,000 of them instead. But what's interesting here, when you're part of the Atlas community, you can tell that Atlas loves its people.
Yes.
It loves its peeps.
And you sense that from being here and talking to the folks who this is their first time here. Mm-hmm. And they're like, whoa, I didn't know this existed. I didn't know what it's like. And this feels different from an NAIS.
Or an ISTE.
An NBOA or an ISTE. There's community here. There's almost like a family feel here in a way that you just don't get from any other conference. And it's wonderful.
So Ty, during your time at this conference, you are wrapping up a journey of sorts, because you've been on the Atlas board since I started as executive director. Mm-hmm. And you've wrapped up your, I guess, 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you have had a heck of a run. You have touched almost every aspect of governance at Atlas. I'm asking you, I guess, to reflect on that for a moment.
Yeah, and I've been doing that a lot lately as this time and this phase has drawn to a close. To see where Atlas has come from to where it is today is nothing short of just absolutely amazing. I remember my first board meeting, and it was interesting, to say the least, and to end where we ended with our board meeting this past Saturday, and just the highest of the highs that it could possibly have been, was just absolutely incredible. Christina, you're a huge part of that, and I think you know that, and I hope you know that, because we have gone to a place and gotten to a place, and we're continuing to move forward that I didn't know was possible after my first board meeting. I just really didn't know what that was like. And to be able to see how we've advanced, how we have matured, how we have set a path forward that is, you know, back in my soccer days, my dad always used to tell me to not be looking down at my toes, but looking up the field to see what was happening. That's how I feel we are now. We're looking up the field and no longer at our feet. We've hit a stride. We're continuing to hit our stride. And, you know, seeing the attendance that we have here at the conference today is a reflection of that. To see all the programming that Atlas has today is a reflection of that. The strength of our community is so incredibly strong and powerful, and something that just, I think, is drawing a lot of folks in. And again, I think that's a testament to you, Christina. I think that's a testament to the staff. I think certainly that's a testament to the board as well. And just, I'm so excited for the future of Atlas and how we're going to grow and how we're going to continue to be seen by others within the independent school community as a leader, as the experts, as the mentors to really move us forward.
I know that you and Bill have worked together on the T-List.
Yeah.
You mentioned leadership. You mentioned looking ahead. And I think if there's anything that exemplifies the programming that Atlas has put together and that forward looking and really thinking about those that are going to come ahead of us is really the development of the T-List credentialing program. And you and I spent 3 days together with a number of others kind of laboring over developing that program, putting those questions together. Yeah. What do you look forward to when it comes to seeing this program launching? You know, we're offering the exam here. You know, others have taken it already. Yep. Where do you see this taking things to the next level? What do you look forward to in seeing this launch?
Yeah, so I think first and foremost, I'm excited about the next hiring cycle. I'm excited about the folks who are going to have those letters after their name to say they have sat for the exam, they've taken it, they are stamped as being people who Atlas believes are ready for that leadership level. And having heads of school and CFOs looking for that when they're flipping through their resumes and separating their piles and having fewer questions about who they're getting and who's going to be coming in front of them to interview. I believe the T-List is a start. I believe it's going to continue to grow and continue to develop. And with the rest of the programming that Atlas has on building leadership within this community, it's just going to be so much stronger. And I'm also excited to see how other organizations are going to follow suit with us. I think we are leading in that way. And what are they going to do to kind of mimic what Atlas is doing? Because it's just going to help so much in terms of the growth and the professionalization of tech leaders in independent schools.
The one thing I think is really interesting with that is it lends for people like myself, you know, others that have been in this game for quite a while. I remember thinking about what my next step in my journey was going to be and not having any place to turn because there wasn't the programs. You weren't able to get masters. You weren't able to get that. You weren't able to get any type of advanced degree, any type of recognition because those programs didn't exist. And while they exist now, I think the T-List kind of speaks to a different type of leadership role, a different type of credential that you can have associated with who you are, even outside of what those advanced degrees offer, because it takes theory and puts it into practice.
Right.
The exam, in terms of what we worked on to put that together, it was really about practically demonstrating that you understand what's going on in this. And I remember when I taught third grade, you know, I graduated from Montclair State University. I was teaching with people who graduated from Columbia Teachers College, and two totally different types of educational experiences. But when the rubber had to meet the road and where we were, it was interesting to see where each of us had our strong suits. And I think the T-List is really going to help really prove that you don't just have the theoretical, you have the practical. And I think I'm really excited for it and looking forward to it take off.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the number of people who take that certification exam and pass it and start promoting. I want to see that number grow. I'm so excited to see, like, next year's conference, what's that number going to look like?
And we'll celebrate the heck out of it.
Oh, we absolutely should. We absolutely should. I think it's so wonderful. And there's a couple of things that come to my mind around that. So I think about the POCC conference. Last time I went was not this past fall, but the fall before. And there were two things that really stood out to me and made me think about Atlas in this way. One is every year they have all the heads of school who are at POCC go up on the stage and they take a picture. And it's wonderful to see that group number grow every single year, right? And I would love to see how that looks like if we do something similar to the T-List folks, right? Because I think that's going to just help people understand the value and see the value of it. The second thing is it actually comes from a session that Hiram and Jason
and did
today. Yes, and Daryl Loy, about the transition from tech leader to modern learning, Department of Modern Learning. And I remember at POCC 2 years ago when I went, there were two really interesting sessions that caught my attention. One was, so you want to be an assistant head of school. And the other one was, so you want to be a head of school. And I wonder, what are the opportunities that might come after the T-list? Like, what's next for these people after they have demonstrated incredible mm-hmm. leadership? They've demonstrated that they understand schools. And I will continue to stand and say that tech leaders are some of the best leaders in schools that schools just don't recognize they have, right? What are the things that we can do to support those people who, after the T-list now, what's next for them? And I think school leadership is a fantastic opportunity for them. And what are we going to be offering in years to come to help those folks take the next stage?
I love that when you guys designed the T-list, you incorporated and really prioritized the continuing education. Because obviously, if you took your certification and then 10 years from now, you never had to do anything again, that certification would be woefully outdated. Mm-hmm. I think that speaks to also, you three in particular are definitely leaders in this space. You're often teaching sessions. But what I love is that when you're not teaching sessions, you're not hiding in your rooms, you are attending. You all three have demonstrated commitments to continuing education. What are some of the highlights from this conference in terms of things that you've learned or things that have really made you think, whether it's a session that you taught and presented or co-presented or a session that you attended?
I presented with Ruvna. That was one of the sessions I did, and that was more on kind of school operation stuff. The one that's coming in front of mind is certainly the one that Jason and Hiram and Daryl did earlier today, because that got into a lot of the teaching and learning and also helping tech leaders position themselves to be in those conversations that happen across our school. I also think to some of the presentations that have happened around the data stuff, right, around CIRS and how schools are using data and figuring out the best ways to leverage that data and to bring others on board in those conversations as well. I think when it comes to data overall, and that's one of the areas I would focus on the most, is schools have so much data and have no idea how to use that data. Mm. It's one thing to have personnel. Yes, I recognize that we are incredibly blessed to have someone like Rachel on campus in our building able to do that work, but a lot of schools don't have that luxury. And so thinking about how we can better educate those in our school to, one, recognize the value of the data and the information that is sitting there at our disposal. We just need to get into it and figure it out. And two, maybe raising up some folks who might be interested in that work and might pursue a path that is along the lines of Rachel's position.
So Ty, you're rolling off the board,
yeah,
which is tragic in and of itself. A lot of wisdom there, a tremendous amount of wisdom. We've been talking about leadership opportunities, but the board has recommended a new process now mm-hmm. for board membership potentially.
Yeah.
And how excited are you about that potential?
I'm very excited because I think the timing is ripe. I think we have a lot of folks here within our community who are like, what's another way that I can give back to Atlas? What can I do beyond attending the conference? What can I do to help others, similar to how I was helped as we came along in this work, right? And so I think it's going to allow a lot of those folks an opportunity to raise their hand and say, hey, I want in. How can I help? And we've talked a lot about it over the years about the board position not being a super volunteer, right? It is more than that. And I think it's going to give those folks an opportunity to really strike leadership opportunities within the organization, to see Atlas from a slightly different perspective than the way they've seen it before, understand how it works, understand the vision that we're working towards, and contribute in really exciting ways. And so I'm excited about seeing that. I'm excited to see, although I won't be able to see it, you will, you'll be able to see those people who put their hands up and who fill out that form. And that's in and of itself is a huge step, because those folks are actually going to be raising their hand and taking a step forward. I remember when I was thinking about joining the board, and I, you know, the email would go out every year saying, you know, who's interested. And I would sit on it and say, oh, I don't know if I want to do it. Maybe I'll do it. And then I got a phone call and said, hey, you should really consider that. And I hope we continue to do that and continue to encourage the people and identify the folks who we think will be good. But it's really great to allow people to take that chance to raise their hand and say they want in.
So we've been here in Reno, and this was an experimental conference location.
Yeah.
Have you been getting into any trouble? Are you a gambler?
I am not a gambler, but I watched a lot of gambling happen, which is kind of fun.
People watching is top notch around here, folks.
That has been very, very interesting. I'm to the point now, and I can thank Jason for this, that I now have a blackjack app on my phone. And so
This is Jason Kern we keep referring to, by the way.
See, I was going to say his last name.
K-E-R-N.
But, you know, it's been fun. And I mean, that is something different. You know, I am a person who, when I do all my, you know, lovely assessments, I'm very much on the introverted side. And I have my time where I can go out there and push myself and be around people and have a good time. But I'm restored when I'm by myself and can be alone. But there's something about Atlas that always just draws the other side.
Do we see your inner extrovert come out? Is that
every
what we get
time.
Extroverted tie?
Yes.
That's pretty cool. I could see that. Bill and Hiram, are you introverted or extroverted?
Oh, I'm an introvert.
You are not. Try again.
I would definitely not say I'm an introvert. I'm somebody who Hiram will constantly remind me I love to talk. But, you know, it's a surprise to everyone I know, of course.
Well, I mean, it serves us well in the podcast.
Of course. The one thing I love about coming here, I mean, first off, in terms of the venue, I actually have to say I'm shocked at how disconnected we are from the actual casino.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I walked in the front door and I looked and I'm like, oh my God, like, how are we going to get anything done? You know, like with all the ding, 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 you know, all the noises and everything. But you turn the corner and you come down the hallway and it's like, okay, this is a conference venue.
Right.
This is where, you know, we're going to be with our people. Being here to take full advantage of Atlas, your inner extrovert has to come out. Because this is where you can be the real you in terms of, you know, you're with people that understand your problems. You're with people that are going through similar things. These are people that you can turn to. It's the community that you need to support you. As Hiram has said, you know, you come out of this and you're completely reinvigorated, really, to go into the summer. And for most people, you might be like, going into the summer is like, oh, it's your downtime. For us, it's like one of our busiest times.
Yeah, absolutely.
So to come out of this conference and to get that shot of energy going into it, I think the more you can come out of your shell and have those conversations, to be willing to sit down and engage with people and have fun and to ask the serious questions or to joke, which is another thing I may tend to do in excess. But it's one of those things where you can soak it all in, gather it all, come together and have the random conversations. I love walking down these aisles between the vendors, between the tables, between sessions, and having those conversations in the hall equally as everything that you get out of the sessions that you sit in on. And you had asked the question earlier about, like, what did you really get? I mean, for me, one of the best things that has come out of this was the keynote yesterday. The whole idea of, like, how does tech align with the business office? Mm-hmm. How do we get onto a common language? How do we understand things? Everything that Jeff said yesterday, I think, really resonated with me because it's what I've been thinking about a lot for the past year and a half, 2 years. And then to follow that up with a session immediately after that keynote, I think was great because, you know, Jeff and his team were there. He wasn't presenting, but he was in the
audience. From NBOA.
And we were able to really dig in on a lot of things. There were a lot of present information, but there was a real opportunity for an immediate reaction to what he had to say at the keynote and a real give and take with those people that we can partner with to advance and move a lot of these things forward. And I wouldn't have gotten that if I weren't here and if I weren't extroverted enough to really get out there and ask those questions and go through that. So it's great.
Yeah.
How about you, Hiram?
I'm the introvert, extrovert.
Yeah. Omnivert.
I'm the omnivert. Much like Ty, I mean, the other day we were together watching the blackjack table and then we looked at our watch. It's like, it's time.
We're done. Were you done peopling?
I was done peopling. The social experiment was complete.
Okay.
And, you know, last night Bill was watching me at dinner and he was like, you're out of gas, aren't you? And I was like, yeah, I'm pretty much done. And it's because I exert so much energy building relationships, connecting people who need to be connected. I'll hear people say, I've got this particular issue. And I'm like, I know who you need to talk to. Mm-hmm. And I'll find them and I'll bring them together. And really, this group right here, we all do the same thing. It really is a family. I do say this often about this conference. I leave this conference rejuvenated. It's cathartic for me because end of school, that part of the calendar is brutal for IT people. And on top of that, I've got a daughter who's getting ready to graduate. So that's going to be equally emotionally brutal.
Yeah.
So I know I have shoulders to lean on.
That's right.
When necessary.
Yeah.
So I always have one question for all three of you. My question this time is, since we're toward the end of this live event, our brains are starting to get full, if not overloaded, with all of this incredible networking and education. My question, since we're in this reflective space, is what advice do you have for Ty 20 years ago and Hiram and Bill 20 years ago? So here we sit today and we're talking about the T-List and we're surrounded by our family here at Atlas. What advice would you give yourself, Ty, 20 years ago when you were just putting your tippy toes onto this path?
Boy, I would probably say do your best to just find community. Find those who are interested in what you're interested in doing and just learn from those folks. I didn't know that community existed. And I was still super young in that stage of my life as well. And so I perhaps didn't even know where to look for that. But just recognizing and accepting that community is somewhere. And maybe it isn't formalized in the way Atlas is formalized today, but people know people and being able to connect, just like you said, right? You might just ask the questions and you might know somebody who can connect you to somebody else and then move forward. I spent a lot of time 20 years ago just trying to find answers myself because I didn't know very many people who could answer those questions for me. And so it's being able to just open my mouth, get out of that introverted side of me and ask questions of people without being afraid of looking foolish or unknowledgeable.
For me, it would probably be to have a little bit more patience with myself. I started as a teacher. I was a middle school science teacher and then moved into IT. But there's this expectation that you are supposed to be the expert and know everything. And it doesn't matter what it is that's going on in the school from a technical perspective. They think you're supposed to be able to solve that problem. And I think it's fair to say each of us are probably generalists, but we do a lot of triage along the way. But I felt at times in the early part of my career with tech that I needed to know absolutely everything. And I felt like I needed to read everything in the knowledge base and try and have everything at my fingertips. That's not always the case. It's really important to use the phone a friend approach when necessary.
100%. Absolutely right.
I would tell myself to give myself more of the gift of time so that I could dig in on those things that I'm passionate about more. And to some degree, it makes us who we are and to some degree as good as we are now because we are these generalists. And I think you can say that and frame it in a very positive light because, again, I think one of the things with what we do, you have to know a good amount about a lot of different things and you can't really dig deep as you might like to on some of the things that you're really passionate about. But I think if I was to go back, I might want to give myself that time so I could go deeper on some of those things. Because I think about the things that I was interested in early on, and I got myself and the school to the point where what we were trying to achieve, we were able to do, but I didn't go that extra step, not because I didn't like what it was that we were doing or I wasn't passionate about it, but there was always that other thing that came up.
Yeah. Yep.
So figuring out how to manage your time in a way where you can still deal with all of those day-to-day operational things, but also really explore those passion projects that you've got earlier when you've got the time and not for nothing. You know, I've crested over that 50, you know, age mark where you've got the time and really the energy and the wherewithal to really invest in doing those things so that you can just draw more meaning out of them. Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily change too much about my career path because I look at where I am and have there been some missteps? Of course there have, but I like where I am.
Yeah.
But there's certain things that I just wish I knew a little bit more, like a little bit more programming knowledge. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. The one thing Cirrus has kind of taught me is maybe I needed a little bit more math or, you know, like some of these other little things that, you know, Christina knows this about me as this Hiram. You know, I thought I was going to be a fine arts major when I started. So when I went to college, there was no math. There was no computer science. Like taking time, like when those things picked up and they were entered into my career early on, again, to invest that time to learn a little bit more, that may have been what I would tell myself.
Ty, before we wrap this up, you can answer this however you want. My question is, what's next for Ty Campbell?
Ooh, professionally, my goal is, this is my last tech job, and to be an assistant head of school. That is my
desire. Look at you with all your bravery, just throwing that out there. Well, hold on a minute, sir. I think you need to slow down and say that one more time. This is your last what?
Yes, this is my last tech job. And to be very clear about it, right, it is not an abandonment of technology at all. Sure. It is about trying to figure out how to take all the skills that I've learned so far, both the hard tech skills and the soft people skills, and put that all together to help move a school forward. I think we can probably all agree that we scratch our heads sometimes wondering why our schools navigate the way they do in terms of their decision making and in terms of how they progress things forward. And we're like, if we were in that seat or had maybe a little bit higher up on the food chain, we might operate and track things a little bit differently. And I think that comes from the experience and the knowledge that we've gained in the roles that we've had. And, you know, the traditional path is, say, a little bit different. Doesn't have those exposures to things that we have. You know, a division head, for example, might oversee, say, a renovation or a new school building for their particular division. That's different from us, who have to look at it from an all school perspective, mm-hmm. right? And so how can we take that all school experience and put that in a leadership position in a school? That is something that excites me tremendously. And so I want to see how we can do that. And I want to blaze a trail for those who might be coming on the back end. And we have Jim Foley. We have others like Marquis Scott. We have a bunch of folks who have kind of set that path forward. And I just want to big trail of fire behind me, just going through and blazing a path for others who want to do the same thing. Because I think we can, and I ultimately believe we will.
I am so happy to hear you say that. It's been so incredible to work so closely with you these last few years on the board. I have no doubt that you will accomplish whatever you set your mind to. So thank you for taking a few minutes to share your journey with us, to share your perspective with us. And I have a feeling this will not be the last time we are having a conversation.
I sure hope not.
With Ty Campbell. So thank you, Ty, for joining us at the end of this conference. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks, Ty.
Thank you, Ty.
Always appreciate it.
This has been Talking Technology with Atlas, produced by the Association of Technology Leaders in Independent Schools. For more information about Atlas and Atlas membership, please visit theatlas.org. If you enjoyed this discussion, please subscribe, leave a review, and share this podcast with your colleagues in the independent school community. Thank you for listening.